The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
Providing guidance as you plan and transition into retirement for over two decades, here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
That's right. Glad you're here with us as part of a Hanson McLean community. Both myself and my co-host here, we are both financial advisors. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, helping them plan their finances, looking at their retirement, all the areas of their financial lives. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And we've been doing this for roughly 20 years and enjoy doing it. We've been Northern California for 20 years, the Bay Area on KGO, just in the last couple months. But
enjoying our time down there.
We are enjoying our time.
Who doesn't love the San Francisco Bay Area?
What's that?
Who doesn't love the San Francisco Bay Area?
How could you not love the Bay Area?
Everyone says that about their own. Wherever they're from, it's always the most beautiful place on the earth. Always.
Well, so, all right, so I've got a friend of mine lives in Tiburon. He's got a nice place, ocean view. Obviously, it's a really nice place, Tiburon. And I live in El Dorado Hills, which is on the outskirts of Sacramento. That's where my home is. And I don't know why I'm talking about this.
Okay,
right, we're talking about it.
Because anyway, people always think wherever they're from is the nicest. He might actually be right.
Well, he might be, but as I was talking about what a nice area I live, he's like, what's there to do? I said, well, there's not much to do, but we're close to lots of things. He started laughing. He said, well, Lake Tahoe is an hour and a half away to Lake Tahoe. Napa is an hour and a half from Napa. If I want to be in downtown San Francisco, it's a two-hour drive. I said, I'm close to lots of things. And so now when I see him, he likes to tease me. Of course, he does have an ocean view home in Tiburon, which might actually be a nicer...
he might be right.
He might be. His place is the best place. Anyway, this is a financial program. We're off topic already, but if you'd like to be part of the show, to join Hanson McLean, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. Again, the number to be part of the program. And you can call us regarding anything financial, whether it's taxes or retirement or investments or mortgage. 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. You could also visit us at moneymatters.com. And I got to really just tease Pat here for a second. My partner Pat, we've been working with for 25 years now. If you Google ADD, that's McLean's face. Now,
this is true.
Radio stations have television monitors around them. And Pat cannot stand the distraction of a television monitor, even in the periphery. So he just got up in the middle as I'm talking and turning off these monitors because it drives him crazy.
It's not that it drives me crazy. Is that
you are crazy.
My attention span is relatively short, and something will come on that will attract my eye, and I will forget that I'm doing the radio show.
It happens. I have looked at Pat before. He's like, like he's out to lunch.
Well, you know, actually, years ago I got rid of, I had a Kindle and then I went to an iPad, and now it's unusual because.
What's unusual?
You can watch a documentary and then never even moving, start reading a book. So at any one point in time, I might be reading three or four books. And
you have like your Kindle up and
iPad. No. Because you can move back and forth on the iPad because I downloaded the Kindle there. But then I found out last night that on Saturday, on Friday nights at midnight, the Saturday Wall Street Journal comes out. It doesn't happen during the week, but on Friday nights, Saturday's Wall Street Journal becomes available at 12.
It happens during the week.
Not at midnight. It normally happens at 2 or 3 in the morning.
Okay.
But on Friday nights. So I could read. I thought, this is so cool. I get to read tomorrow's Wall Street.
So Friday is at 9 o'clock
Pacific. No, midnight Eastern.
Oh, but if you can get the most of the stories online if you're on your computer, not the app.
Not the whole thing, though.
So you can be out having a good old time on a Friday night, going to the clubs, the VIP, VIP lounge,
getting bottle service. That's me.
I don't even know what that means, really. I mean, I've heard the concept.
Bottle service? My nephew's explained it to me.
From a financial standpoint,
don't get bottle service.
Don't go to the VIP lounge.
Yes.
And don't order bottle service, because I've heard that's very expensive.
My nephew has explained it to me, the bottle service thing.
It's not like a two-drink minimum, right? It's like you have to buy a bottle or something.
$500 or $600 bottle, something.
A $500 bottle?
More than
Let
that.
Let me reiterate it. From a financial standpoint.
Don't do that.
A $500 bottle?
Yeah.
Of liquor of some sort? $500.
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong business.
All right. Well, but we are in the financial services business, and we are registered investment advisors. So if you have any questions regarding...
Certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant.
Yes.
And quite frankly...
888-2-HANSEN.
This program...
It's a weekend show.
So yes. And we've been doing it a long time. And I remember years ago, we got somebody called the station and complained that we spend too much time off topic... And not enough time on the financial matters.
Oh.
And thought we should get back to the financial matters.
And we do. We cover it.
And then we looked at our ratings and we said, you know, I think the listeners seem to enjoy.
And a little bit of both. A little bit of both. So. Yeah.
Anyway, we got a great program.
888-2-HANSEN.
Not only are we going to take some calls, but we're going to talk about how you can use your IRA for a short-term loan. And we've seen this. People have done this where it's in a real estate transaction. Seen it often in real estate transactions. We've seen it other ways. Short-term loan, how to use your IRA for a short-term loan.
Carefully.
Yeah, there's ways around that. So we will be talking about that. We are also, during this fabulous program, going to be talking about how to use your 401k.
Fabulous program. What are you, one of the Gabor sisters?
Huh? Gabor.
Yeah. Actually, I'm kind of dating myself a little bit.
The Gabor sisters.
I did watch a show about Howard Hughes this week. So,
are they still alive?
I don't believe so.
If so, I've thought about.
Well, who doesn't? Spend a lot
one
of
was
time.
In Green Acres, right?
Yes.
Wasn't that the Gabor?
Zaza.
And who was the other one?
I don't know. I think there was one. I was watching this documentary on Howard Hughes.
Yeah, Pat's a documentary. Anyway, so the second thing we're going to talk about is how to use a 401k to supplement income either during a career change or for early retirement. There are ways around the 59.5 penalty, and we've seen people use this successfully for a career change. And
oh, and it works great.
Yeah.
It works great.
And so, actually, we're going to talk about this right now, and then we'll take calls later on during the program. Here's the thing. The tax law states you got to be 59.5 before you can get money out of your retirement plan. So you're working, it's 59.5. Let's say you're 53 years old, and you're like, you know, I'd like to do something different. I'd like to start my own business. I'd like to do a different type of job. I want to do something in transition. I don't know what my income's going to be. I plan on having another job, but I want to do something different. You can take income from a retirement plan without being 59.5, without any penalty, provided that you structure the income so it's designed to last you to your dying day. Now, there's some ways, there's some little caveats about this, but under Internal Revenue Code 72T, you can start an income stream, and as long as that income stream is set up to design to last you to your dying day, you can receive that income on a monthly basis with no tax penalties whatsoever.
Caveat is you have to do it for at least 5 years or age 59.5, whichever's longest.
So you're 53. You think, you know, I'd love to do, I've got this high-pressure job. I don't think I can keep doing this until I'm 65.
I want to start my own business.
Or I'd like to go work for this nonprofit. The pay is not as good. I need to supplement it. All my money's in a retirement account. That's clearly a way that you can get money from retirement out. It's Internal Revenue Code 72.
It's easy as long as you follow the rules.
Another way around it, if you are 55 or older in the year in which you leave your employer, you can access that employer's retirement plan, their 401k, without any penalties and without any restrictions. So you're saying, I'm 55, I want to go do something different, I just need a little cash to tide me over. Once you leave your employer, you can take a withdrawal. That withdrawal will not be subject to the early withdrawal penalties. No penalties with that.
As long as you're 55 or older in the year in which you separate from service.
Yeah. So there's a couple ways
around it. And
it
doesn't mean you have to be retired. Neither one of these means you have to be retired. It just means that you have to actually follow the rules. And the 55 or older in the year in which you separate from service is a great technique in a retirement transition.
Yeah. So, hey, we're taking a short break. When we come back, we'll start taking some calls. 888-2-HANSEN to join the program. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Are you as confident as you should be when it comes to your finances? Do you feel that you're on track to accomplish your goals? If not, you owe it to yourself to take a look at Hanson McLean Advisors. Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, founded Hanson McLean Advisors over 20 years ago to help people make wise choices with their money. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under the hood. And there are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place. Plus, unlike many investment firms, there is a high level of communication keeping you informed and up to date. With offices in Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be of benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSEN or moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Back to Northern California's financial experts, Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSEN.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you are here with us on this weekend as we are broadcasting Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And our contact number, 888-2-HANSON. Also, if you haven't been on our website lately, moneymatters.com is a great place to go. Money Matters.
We've been spending quite a bit of time on it.
Moneymatters.com.
Yeah. Moneymatters.com. Lots of articles.
Moneymatters.com.
What do you? Well, there's other types. There's other Money Matters other than the .com.
Not good ones.
Not, well, I mean, it's entirely our opinion. It's like telling you, yeah. It's like asking a mother, do you think my kid is good looking? You're my baby. And everyone.
They're always the cutest, aren't they? They always
believe their kid is.
My mother will say, oh, that Blake, he is so handsome. He is so handsome. Yeah. I'm sure he has trouble keeping the women off him. Here's your grandson.
Yeah,
you might be biased.
Yes, Grandma.
I'm not going to go.
All right, well, we'll talk about it later because I love hearing the stories about your family, especially since
my son had something important today. He was taking the ACT.
Oh, very good.
Okay. He's my kid's driven.
But you've got two.
Anyway, but the funny thing, he's 17 and a half, and we will go to the calls and back to financial programs. My wife will wake him up in the mornings at times, like wake him up for school, see what he wants for breakfast.
Got the crust off his bread.
And sometimes my wife's out of town, and I said, I'm not waking you up, and I'm not getting taken care of your breakfast.
I get that.
And it's not that I don't love my son. I just figure you got to figure it out.
You'll figure it out.
Life's not that easy.
You're not starving.
So I was supposed to wake him.
Oh.
This morning.
Okay. This is good.
At 6:20.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I woke up around 6, didn't even think about him, and I went out for a bike ride, and I don't know what happened. I did come home, and his car was gone, so I assume he made it to the ACT.
Oh. If he didn't, it's career ending.
It's like,
life will never be the same.
You know?
Yeah, my wife and I go round and round. Well, who's going to cook him breakfast? Well, I don't know.
There's a box of cereal in the pantry, and there's milk in the fridge, which is more than a lot of kids.
Yes.
Anyway, all right, we need to take some calls here. 888-2-HANSEN to be part of the program here. And let's talk to Marjorie. Marjorie, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Thank you for waiting.
Thank you. I would like to know what you know about probate taxes. I am still waiting a year, in almost a year and a half now, and it looks like it might come to a conclusion next month. And I wondered what kind of taxes I'm looking at.
Oh, got it. Let's talk about the estate that you are inheriting.
Or you're the trustee on.
It's not very much.
How much is it?
I don't really know. I don't really know. I assume that I probably will get, I don't know, 30 to 40,000. That's all I'm counting on. If I get more, I'll be happy.
All right. So there won't be any estate
tax. And you're
not
involved in the dissolution of the estate here. You're not involved in the probate.
No, my sister is in charge of that.
Okay.
With the attorneys and so forth, and I don't get a lot of information.
Okay. Well, so we'll walk you through a couple things here.
So there is no federal death tax. There is what's called an estate tax, but the estate tax is not triggered until an estate is worth over $5 million. It's about
We don't have to worry about that then, do we?
That's exactly
that, at least that tax. There are a couple things that you could be taxed on.
And here's where we see them. Here's where oftentimes we see them. One is if someone inherits a retirement account, like a 401k or an IRA.
Or a 403b.
There might be one of those.
Okay. So that, where it's going to be taxed is when you take the money out of that plan, that's when you'll pay taxes on it.
And in most circumstances, you have to take that distribution based on your life expectancy, and you need to start it the first year you receive the dollars. If you miss the first year, then you have to take it out over a five-year period. So depending upon the size of it, you may actually, and your income tax bracket, you may decide to defer it or you may decide to take it all at once. It just depends on your particular situation and your marginal tax bracket.
The tax on an inherited IRA could be anywhere from 0 to 39.6% federal. Plus 3.8% Obamacare tax, depending on the other income. It's not going to be that high for you because it's not that large of a so.
Depending upon what your income tax bracket looks like.
I'm assuming you're not several hundred thousand.
I'm an old lady.
Okay. Well, we'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. Okay.
So the second thing is where we see them is when people inherit annuities. So if there was an annuity purchase maybe at the bank, tax-deferred annuity, all that gain inside that annuity will be taxed to the beneficiaries.
Okay.
Or savings bonds.
And savings bonds as well. U.S. savings bonds.
Yeah. Pretty much everything else will receive a step-up in basis or will have no taxes due on it on an estate this size. So those are the three things that you may have some tax liability. And all three of those, you have some control over when that tax liability is going to come to you.
I see. All right.
But if the estate is $40,000 or $50,000,
the estate is more than that, but there's four of us, and my part would be that amount, I assume.
And if you're not in a high marginal tax bracket at this time, I would probably just tell you, cash it all out as quickly as possible and just move on. It will make it easier in terms of easier and less expensive in terms of tax preparation.
Okay.
All righty.
Very good. Yes. Right. I thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
You're very, very sweet, both of you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
God, I've been
you called.
I've been looking for that my whole life. Thank you. Isn't that cute?
That's
sweet.
That is nice.
Yeah, I've been looking for that a long time.
Looking for that. So, you know, it's interesting, a couple little notes on here before we go back to calls, because most of us are going to die leaving assets to other people. That's the reality. Unless you know the exact day you're going to die.
You probably have some assets.
You're going to have some assets that are going to be left on. And as your estate gets larger, it's actually pretty important to start thinking about which assets from a tax standpoint are best to leave. If you look at something like if somebody owns something outright, whether it's a mutual fund, a stock, a piece of real estate, any sort of other asset, whatever gain has occurred during that person's lifetime, that gain, when someone passes away and it's left to an heir and that person inherits that asset, from a tax standpoint, the cost basis, what the person had paid for that asset originally, gets stepped up to the fair market value on the date the person passed away.
Unless, so I had this situation that happened recently, which is someone gave the property to the son. And I said, oh, that's probably a mistake. Well, the father had died the year before and had received a full step up in basis at that point in time, which was
so kind of worked out.
This is if
you inherit an asset from a tax standpoint, you inherit that asset with a cost basis equal to the fair market value the day the person died, or sometimes for larger states, they'll use an
alternative date. But for most of America, it's the day they died.
That's correct. But let's say that somebody on their deathbed said, oh, Billy, I always wanted you to have this thing, this stock, this piece of property.
This house.
And it's gifted on one's deathbed. That might sound all well and good. The challenge is you're no longer going to have that same tax break, the stepped up basis, the forgiveness of that capital gain. Because when someone gifts an asset to somebody else, that cost basis transfers forward. So the person who then receives that gift has a cost basis just like the person with whatever they paid for it originally.
And you think, well, the reason people are gifting it rather than waiting to inherit is because they believe that it will avoid the hassle of probate. Well, that's true in some cases, but it's actually a lot less expensive and easier to put it into a trust. And although there's a cost to a trust, it normally is much less than the gain. So the only reason you would actually gift something versus
wanted it out of your estate for some other reason.
Yeah, or its cost basis said was.
Or for some other planning. Let's say you have a business and you're trying to do some other.
For most Americans, you're better off to inherit the asset rather than to have it gifted to you.
Now, retirement plans, IRAs, whoever inherits the IRA is going to have to pay tax based upon their tax rate. So you inherit someone's IRA, you'll be taxed the withdrawals at your tax rate. So I'll give an example. I've got some clients I work with now. They've done a good job saving. They have relatively large IRA balances. Their kids have all done phenomenally well economically anyway. And I'm sure their personal lives are disastrous. But
but they do it in really nice houses.
Well, I'm going to say, because there's more to life than just finance. So
you have to preface that economically.
They've all done very well economically and are all in very high tax rates. So from our planning standpoint, it was like, look, we're trying to drain down their IRAs. So as they're in a lower tax bracket now.
So mom and dad drain the money. Pay the taxes, invest in something that is tax efficient, will receive a step up in basis at death, and more assets net of taxes then go on to
the
children.
They're both in their late 80s. They know that they're
not going to live forever. And that makes perfect sense.
Same thing with annuity contracts.
Let me ask you a question, Scott. Having that conversation with the client is 100% opposite of what you would normally... Everything they were ever taught about tax deferral. Everything they were taught about tax deferral, or they learned or they heard. And telling someone that to take the money out before you have to and pay taxes on it, was it a tough conversation?
They have an annuity that they had purchased. They've been clients for maybe 20 years. They had an annuity contract they purchased prior to meeting with me. And I'm having this conversation now of trying to get the same thing, because I said, look, this taxation is going to be hitting your beneficiaries.
And they're in a higher tax bracket than you.
Annuities and IRAs are bad assets. Well, relatively bad assets to leave to heirs because of the tax.
But they're great to leave to charities. If you have a charitable intent, holy smokes, there's no better asset to leave to a charity than an IRA.
Or an annuity.
Or
because
an annuity.
All that gain that's occurred that's going to be taxed to your beneficiaries at ordinary income rates. Nonprofits don't pay income taxes.
No better asset to give to a charity.
So they work out fantastic. And that's why sometimes when you look at, so this guy, all this estate plan, it's really important to look at these different assets. And as we're getting up in age, saying, where should we be drawing our income from? And sometimes, as you said, Pat, the wisest thing to do is not do the thing that's going to be
conventional.
The lowest taxable income today. It's going to be what's going to be lowest taxable, lowest overall tax for your beneficiaries, for their overall estate long term. Anyway, so we're taking a quick break. When we come back, we'll take some calls. We also want to talk about how you can take a loan from your IRA. It does work. There's some pitfalls. We're going to share that with you. 888-2-HANSEN to join the program. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-242-6766.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McLean each weekend as they host Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McLean Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSEN or visit them at moneymatters.com.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, visit moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hopefully you've been here the whole program, not just joining us now. Thanks for waiting through the break, listening to the great news and phenomenal advertisement of the Hanson McLean firm. I think we have ads during our, yeah.
We do?
Yeah, we have ads that run our self. You'll find the program, we do this a long time. We don't use the show as a means to promote ourselves or our firm. We want this to be good advice, but we do have ads that run.
We do run a firm.
And Hanson McLean serves several thousand clients throughout Northern California, with billions under administration that we work with our clients. And you can learn more about that at moneymatters.com.
But that's enough about us.
Yeah, enough about us. Anyway.
Let's talk about you.
We will. And we'll take some calls. 888-2-HANSON, 888-2-HANSON.
Thank you.
We're talking with Carolyn. Carolyn, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful.
Good. So I had a question. I'm about 18 months away from retirement.
Oh, congrats.
And I have, thank you, I have both a pension, which I can get a lump sum, as well as a 401k. And my question is whether or not I should use, when I retire, some of my retirement savings to pay off my mortgage so I don't have a mortgage.
Boy, you know, here's where it's a challenge. If you had money outside of a retirement account, then it's an easier thing to look at, because we look at money outside of retirement account and say, oh, we can just take these dollars.
Do you have money outside of retirement accounts?
Not enough to pay it off. I have some.
How much do you owe on the mortgage?
About $500.
How old are you?
I'm 57.
And what's the interest rate on the loan?
4.5%.
And what's the value of the house?
It's probably worth 9%.
And what's your income going to be in retirement time, 18 months from now?
Well, so my husband also has a pension.
Is he retired?
He's retired.
Okay.
Just retired, yeah. So I would say we'll be at like maybe 120.
Okay. And how much do you have in your 401k and pension buyout is?
Well, the 401k is worth about $1 million right now, and if I lump sum the pension, it's also worth about $1 million.
Okay. Here's the challenge. And it sounds like you would like to have the mortgage paid off. Is that correct?
I would. Yeah.
Because a lot of people would like to get to retirement without having a mortgage paid off.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge right now that you've got, Carolyn, if you said, I'm going to go grab $500,000 to pay off my mortgage, is the taxation on that would be disastrous because you're already in a fairly high tax bracket. Even when you retire at $120,000 a year, you're at almost the maximum for the state of California, 9.3%. Plus, your federal income tax is at 25%. And if you take out a big chunk, you'll be pushing yourself up into even higher tax rates.
Mm-hmm.
If you tried to do it all in 1 year, it would be a foolish thing to do.
Actually, it would be foolish in almost any situation here at this number. How much does your husband have in his retirement plans?
Well, it's a county pension, so I don't know a lump sum.
Oh, no. In addition to that, into 457?
We put it all into mine, so he doesn't really have that much of anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's another way to look at this. One way to look at it is, what if you took $500,000 of your 401k and you set it up, and now you're going to be, how old are you today, Carolyn?
57.
57. So you're not going to be quite 59 and a half yet, but just bear with me for a moment.
Okay.
Let's say you set up $500,000 in a separate IRA, invested that relatively conservatively, and had that make the mortgage payment.
And your mortgage payments are about $2,700 a month plus plus taxes and insurance.
Is this mm-hmm. is this relatively new mortgage? Your 30-year mortgage?
It is. We're 5 years in. Mm-hmm.
I would almost want to look and see if you can get a new mortgage, a 30-year mortgage today at the same rate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stretch
okay.
it out. Because
the reality is there's probably a very little chance that you're going to pay this mortgage off in your lifetime.
Just because
okay.
the way the taxes are. I think Pat would agree with me. We like the idea about earmarking mm-hmm. certain funds for this. Because emotionally, you'd like to have the home paid off. We get that. Just the tax burden would be too great. So the way to handle this, if you had a separate IRA, put $500,000 in that.
And invest it moderately.
Uh-huh.
And have
those that mortgage on the conservative
distributions
side.
Go right into your checking account.
Your mortgage payments
come right back out.
So that way you can think in your mind like they're paid off.
Yeah.
And as long as you're not, mm-hmm. as long as you don't take on too much risk with that IRA,
mm-hmm.
you know it's going to be able to make the mortgage payment.
So will both of you be eligible for Social Security?
We will, yes.
Okay. And this $120,000, is it that your income, family income now, is it significantly smaller than what you've been earning?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes, but it will cover our costs because we've been socking away a lot of money.
Okay, so you've been saving.
Okay.
Yeah, they saved another $1 million in the 401k. Obviously, you guys have been doing a good job saving.
And you're both eligible for Social Security.
We are, yes.
And so, and your husband, similar age, older?
He's a couple years older.
Okay, when you go to make that decision at his age 62 and your age 62 as to whether to take Social Security, you need mm-hmm. to take that extremely seriously, because what you've described to me in terms of your income and your ages and how much you have in guaranteed pensions, it sounds like from municipalities, and how much you have in retirement plans, there is a lot of planning that needs to go into how to take that Social Security income, when to take it. It's going to be based on what your health is like, what your husband's health is like, what other income is coming in, what other income is available to you. Do we have any inheritances expected in the future? There are so many things that play in. So don't go into the Social Security thinking, I'm just going to take it at age 62 because I heard it on a radio show. You should possibly take it as early as possible. Or I heard it on a radio show, or I read somewhere you should take it as late as possible. In your situation, there are so many moving parts. I think that would be the biggest financial decision you need to make in the next few years.
Okay.
Scott?
Yep,
okay.
I'd agree.
Okay.
Yeah, and as long as the only thing in your situation that worries me is the size of this debt. And if this is the only size of the debt and you're comfortable with it, I agree with Scott. Take that $500,000.
Well, how much do you have outside of? You said you had money.
About 200,000.
I would still. I would keep that 200,000.
Yeah, I would too.
Safe and warm.
I like the idea about having this reamortized. So a new 30-year mortgage, you can stretch it out 30 years. You've got the other IRA set up. So it makes that payment. You can think
I would
in your
even
own
look
mind.
At a
you've
fifth...
got the. I mean, you've got the assets. You should feel good, Carolyn. That...
Yeah, you're surrounded by water with nothing to drink, though. Because yeah. A lot of it's not liquid. Scott, I would actually even look at a 15-year mortgage to see if the interest rate is significantly different than the 13.
I would disagree. I'd do the 30-year mortgage at this
point. Yeah, I'd probably do the 30 just to manage cash flow.
Yeah. See, that way you have maximum cash flow. It's about enjoying the retirement at this stage, particularly when you're a relatively young retiree. Let's enjoy life.
And do you think you'll live in this house forever?
Our plan is to we're on acreage, so our plan is to live in it until we can't keep it up.
Got it.
So at some point we won't.
And that's normally based on my experience with clients. That's normally not forever, but it certainly is normally into. Your late 70s, early 80s.
You can go in your 80s and still be out there farming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It all depends on your health.
We've got a number of years.
Yeah. Oh, good for you. Well, congratulations on your impending retirement.
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you very much for your advice.
All right. Appreciate it. Glad you called. We wish you well. And a lot of people want to get to retirement with a home paid off. That's a worthy goal for many.
But if you're not, if you don't get there, then you have to maybe it's no longer a goal. You just manage your debt for cash flow.
Yeah, you want to manage your cash flow so that you've got ultimate cash flow during your retirement years, particularly in the younger years when you've got your health. Nobody knows. At some point in time, most of us, the health starts to give before we pass away. Most of us don't know when those dates are going to be.
Yeah.
And
if you did, it'd be terrible.
Well, I don't know.
If you knew when your health was going to start to fail, wouldn't it be terrible?
Well, I don't know if it'd be terrible. But in any case, my point is here.
Well, I want to have this philosophical discussion about this.
I don't. The fact is, when you're a relatively young and healthy retiree, it's being able to maximize your cash flow so you can enjoy your health and do those things that you'd like to be doing at that stage. I think that's important. And there's always that tricky balance of trying to save for the future and
enjoy today.
We don't really know what that's going to be. So anyway, we're taking a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with calls and also talk about how you can borrow from your IRA and use those dollars for a number of different things. So Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program, 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Get a podcast of Hanson McLean's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com.
Are you as confident as you should be when it comes to your finances? Do you feel that you're on track to accomplish your goals? If not, you owe it to yourself to take a look at Hanson McLean Advisors. Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, founded Hanson McLean Advisors over 20 years ago to help people make wise choices with their money. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under the hood. And there are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place. Plus, unlike many investment firms, there is a high level of communication keeping you informed and up to date. With offices in Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be of benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSON or moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Two guys, two brains, and one head of hair.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
And let's talk here with Sam. Sam, you're with Hanson McLean.
Greetings, gentlemen.
Hi, Sam.
I have a question about this leveraged municipal bond funds. What kind of risks are involved when the interest rate goes up?
Oh, municipal bond funds. So let's talk about, you asked, what is the risk if interest rates go up? There's lots of risk in municipal bond funds.
Leveraged bond funds, yeah.
Okay. So let's leveraged, just talk.
You say leveraged or municipal?
Leveraged municipal bond.
Oh, leveraged municipal.
Got it.
Great.
Well, let's, I'll tell you what. There are two different conversations, but we've only got like 13 minutes left in the show. So I don't know if we're going to be able to cover all the risk in a leveraged municipal bond fund.
Let's step back on bonds. There's a lot of confusion on bonds. And think about it this way. If someone was to go out in the marketplace today and spend $100,000 on a 10-year U.S. government bond, let's say the interest rate's 2.5%. That you go out in the marketplace, $100,000 for a 10-year bond, 2.5%, you'd be receiving $2,500 a year in interest.
And right? At the end of 10 years?
You get your $100,000 back. So let's say you went and bought this today, but a year from now, interest rates are at 5%. Your neighbor can go out with his $100,000 or her $100,000, buy that same bond, but instead of getting $2,500 a year, they receive $5,000 a year.
So they're not going to give you $100,000 for that bond anymore.
Let's say, heck no. Why would I give you $100,000 for that? I can get $5,000 a year. You're just only paying $2,500. I'm going to give you significantly less for the bond that you currently
have. And the longer the bond, the less they will give you. So the shorter the bond or the closer it is to the maturity, the more they will give you of its face value.
For example, if I had a $100,000 bond that was yielding 2.5% that matured tomorrow, and Pat here had a $100,000 bond paying 5% that matured in 2 days, the value would be almost identical because what we're looking at is the principal being due in a day.
When does the money come back? So what is the overall rate of return? And that's why as interest rates go up, bond values fall. And the inverse is true.
That's true. My concern was about the income. Income is not going to change.
No. So let's talk about a leverage bond.
A leveraged mutual fund, the income can most certainly change.
So a leverage, and it could be a municipal bond fund, it could be a government bond fund, it could be a leveraged stock fund. Think about a lever, right? When they use the word leverage, it is a lever. It is a teeter-totter. It goes both ways.
And the longer the lever, the bigger the...
Which means the more leverage in a particular fund, the greater the swings, both on the upside and on the downside. So what you're doing is you're reaching for yield in your particular... You're saying, I need to get this much money out of this, and I am willing to actually take the risk and leverage. What they're doing is they're borrowing money. Let's say they're going out and borrowing at 2% and they're buying a bond that's yielding 3%. What they're doing is able to increase your yield that comes to you. What is the downside? Or as you asked, Sam,
the challenge.
What is the risk?
Here's the risk. Interest rates rise, their borrowing cost goes up.
Okay, so in the worst case scenario here, you'll still get the coupon rate.
Yeah, but the coupon can drop dramatically.
And if you get a coupon rate, let's say you lost 10% of your principal, and you say, but Pat,
in a mutual fund, there's no maturity date.
What you're looking at is, I need X amount of dollars out of this particular fund. And the way I think I'm going to do it is allow them to borrow money on my behalf, right? And go out and invest it. I would say to you, why not use a little bit of your own principal for the time being in order to get to the yield that you need, rather than take on that additional risk? And the problem is when you use leverage, we don't know if it's 2% leverage, the fund is 5% leverage, whether it's 40% leverage. We don't know what leverage they're using and how long the average maturity in the bond is. So a leveraged municipal bond fund, right, may have just a little bit more risk than a regular municipal bond fund, or it could have 10 times the risk.
Depends how much leverage there is and how long the maturities are in the bonds internally.
No, but I'm not talking about the risk to the principal, only the well, income. Now, I can understand the income will go down too. If the,
yes.
If you don't care about, so, but Pat's point is if you don't care about your principal.
Then why not use some of your principal?
No, no, that principal, you know, it's a bond fund, and I'm not interested in getting the principal out. My concern.
Then why not buy an annuity? You'll get a much higher yield. Immediate annuity from an insurance company.
So you
give up your principal.
But so my point is exactly this, Sam, which is would the question is there's more than one way to get at what you're trying to achieve. I would not be using any leverage.
I would not own one of these funds. I would not recommend one of these
funds. I would not use any leverage in a bond fund in this environment. Nor would I use it in a stock fund. Now, if it was 4 years ago or 5 years ago,
no,
or interest
don't.
Rates.
No, you never recommend that. 20-some-odd years as advisor,
yeah,
you
probably.
Never recommend
I wouldn't be so adamantly opposed to it, though. If the interest rates were high,
yeah, but now,
you would not be so adamantly opposed. But the interest rates are near all-time lows. This is not the time to use any sort of leverage.
And if you say you're not concerned about the principal,
well, then use some of it to get to your to where you need to be, or buy an immediate annuity, not an index annuity. Buy an immediate annuity. Look at some other methodology to get to where you need to go, other than a leveraged bond fund.
Well, if the interest rates go up, the worst that can happen is they will not use leverage, since the rates of the
after your principal has fallen.
But it's just like Sam, you got to think, just like in real estate, if you had a 90% loan to value on a home price falls 10%, you're wiped out. The same thing happens here. It's the exact same principle. So
no, but there's no question.
We're not going to argue with you anymore. asked our opinion. So we got to roll, and I appreciate the call, Sam, and wish you well on that. But
he wants it to work for him.
That's our opinion. I also, at the beginning of the program, said we were going to talk about how to take a loan from your IRA, and I want to make sure we get this topic off the question. So apologies if we weren't able to get to the call next week. Here's the thing. You're not technically allowed to take a loan from an IRA. So if you got an IRA and say, I'd like to borrow a portion of this for a period of time.
You're not allowed.
But what you are allowed to do is take a withdrawal, and as long as that withdrawal is put back into that IRA or another IRA within a 60-day period, it's not considered a withdrawal. It's considered a 60-day IRA rollover. So here's how we've seen this used. We've seen this people in the midst of a real estate transaction where suddenly they get slammed. There's they need short-term financing for a 2-week period of time. Right? And
yes, I've seen it a dozen times.
Yeah, and like here as well. Well, what you can do is take a loan, and as long as that money's put back in 60 days, it's not considered a taxable withdrawal. Another thing, let's say you're 59 and you're a month shy of 59 and a half, and you'd like those dollars today. Maybe you're going to be buying a motorhome or something, or whatever. For whatever reason, you needed the cash today. You're a month away.
Or a piece of jewelry to make this retirement thing acceptable for your spouse.
A piece of jewelry. Maybe
or a new
big
motorcycle.
Chain. A nice flashy
chain. No, the reason I say piece of jewelry, because this is exactly what happened to one of my clients, is he went out when he was 59 and a half, or not even 59 and a half, a couple months shy, and he said, hey, I took this money and
I
bought my wife a piece of jewelry because she was concerned about me retiring. And I said, well, I hope she's happy because, IRS kind of.
But if you can get the money back into that retirement account.
We did. We took some money out of a savings account, put it back in the retirement account.
And then it was a 60-day rollover, and it was not, did not.
Correct. And then once he was 59 and a half, the rules were off.
And you took the money out. It saved 10%. So there is some, and the rules change. And it used to be you can do this once a year for any retirement account. Now it's all your retirement accounts.
Everything.
IRAs, 401ks. You can only do one 60-day withdrawal 60-day IRA rollover for a 12-month period. So once you do one, you've got to wait another 12 months. There was some abuse that would happen in this area where people were essentially putting the money back in for
they're doing it constantly.
And, yeah, they're moving from account to account, and essentially they were using all their retirement capital. So the IRS came back and said, nah, we're not going to let you do that anymore. But it's something to keep in mind as a last-ditch effort, and we've seen it a number of times, and Pat, even I thought you were joking about the piece of jewelry.
No.
But he actually bought the jewelry, and then you went and figured out a way to make it reduce the taxes.
Yeah.
Because the tax penalty, look, if you're not 59 and a half, the tax penalty, well,
10% federal, 2.5% state.
And when you are over that, the tax is going to be based upon your overall income. So if it's a real estate transaction that you need 400 grand, and that 400 grand is a taxable withdrawal to you, much, much different than if you can take the money out slowly over a period of years. So that's something you want to
makes it easier.
Keep in mind. Anyway, we are just about out of time, which is so unfortunate for all of us, I know. Our program here, Hanson McLean's Money Matters, is broadcast every weekend, and we're happy to be coming to you. We've been doing this out of Northern California for about 20 years and in the Bay Area since May, I think is when we started on KGO. But glad to be part of the KGO family. We're on broadcast on KFPK Saturdays from 10 to 11 on KGO in the Bay Area Saturdays from 4 to 5. And thanks for being part of Hanson McLean. If you want to learn more about us, go to moneymatters.com. We got a great website there with lots of good information, moneymatters.com. You can also submit a question to us there, questions@moneymatters. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.